All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Sarah Elizabeth writes in about the Dreamers. Dreamers don't pay their share of taxes. Let's look at the tax to income ratio of the 1% and start with Trump's tax returns. That's a great point, Sarah. Next time they ever have the audacity to talk about the Dreamers and whether they pay enough taxes, which they do, every reporter in the room should immediately shout out, give us Trump's tax returns. Because if you're going to talk about other people's taxes, then we got to see your taxes.
Doesn't DACA ensure that they work legally and pay their taxes?
It does, but it doesn't matter. Chris Kobach said it anyway. They still say it. Okay. Now, let me give you guys some tweets about the Hillary Clinton story I did. Krang T. Nelson says, Hillary Clinton quarterback. We lost the game, but only because of all my terrible teammates and coaches. Personally, I think I was great.
Yeah.
By the way, it's one of the reasons that I hate Peyton Manning. I remember after one playoff game that he badly bungled, and he was super nervous and he played terrible. He then, in a post-game press conference, blamed it on his offensive line. That's what people who are not classy do. That's anyway. I can go on and on. All right. Rich writes in a very interesting tweet. He says, "I'm one of the millions who were pissed and going to give a hate vote to Donnie Tiny Hands. Cenk changed my mind. Thank TYT for my vote, Hillary." So, but then it doesn't matter. You know, we get it on both sides because we said in the general election, Donald Trump was such a disaster that you should vote for Hillary Clinton. But the Hillary Clinton people hate us for what happened in the primaries. And to them, that means absolutely nothing. And to some people on the left, just because you said, hey, don't vote for a monster, they'll hate you forever on that side. So you can't win.
Except go ahead and hate us. I don't really
that's
care.
Okay. Yeah. Haters going to hate. But Rich, I appreciate you saying what you said because we're trying to do the right thing and context matters. That's why we love primaries. Primaries are important. Right now, the leader in the Democratic Party is Bernie Sanders. But I still believe in primaries, and I still think there should be a very healthy primary in the Democrats. We're not hypocrites like they are. Mm-hmm. Okay. Andrew Emanuel says something very nice. Days like today are why I pay to be a member. TYT Live gives me life. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. Last one is Christina L. Cherry says, yes, I love it when Cenk's on fire. Hashtag, I'm still with TYT. Hashtag, no one cares about Hillary anymore. I appreciate that I'm still with TYT. That's in response to Peter Dow's, I'm still with her. Good luck on that gravy train. Okay, all right, let's get going on the second hour. Go ahead.
All right. A Mexican citizen has earned the ability to visit the United States in order to attend her son's funeral. Her son was actually a person who was protected under DACA and drove 100 miles to the Houston area in order to help volunteer in saving victims of Hurricane Harvey. Now, unfortunately, while he was volunteering, the boat that he was on capsized and he did drown. And it's really a tragic story. So that's 31-year-old Alonzo Guillen. And he came to the country when he was just a teenager. And he was protected under DACA. However, about 48 hours prior to Trump announcing that he would end DACA, he was found dead. And it's just a tragic story. So Guillen was born in the Piedras Negras, Mexico area. And he moved to the United States under the shelter of DACA. He has been living in Texas ever since he was a teenager. Now, just to give you an idea of what exactly happened when their boat capsized, they were on their way to an apartment complex near the Interstate 45 and Beltway 8 when the hurricane struck the bridge over the creek that capsized Wednesday. Search crews went looking for Alonzo after they went missing. His body was discovered on Friday. And to make the story even more tragic, the people who discovered his body were his family members. They suspected the area that he would be found in, and they kept their eye on the murky waters in that area. And his body did wash up, and they found him. So his mother did want to come to the United States to visit and to, of course, attend his funeral. But she was initially rejected by Border Patrol agents. And after this story became a huge national story, luckily, the US government did give her permission to come and go to the funeral.
So Alonzo, as with almost every dreamer, was employed. And this was not necessarily his fight. And he lives in Texas, but 100 miles away. And because he's an incredible guy, decided, hey, look, I'm going to go get a boat. These guys are flooded and they need help. And he went to go help. And you know, when we saw those pictures, I think all Americans, and it didn't matter what your politics were moved by, whether it was police or firefighters or just regular citizens going to help those people to make sure they didn't drown. Remember the little old lady stuck in the nursing home mm-hmm. with the water all the way up, and and they were desperate for help, and people came and helped them. And Alonzo was one of those guys, and he died doing so. And if he had stayed alive, in about 6 months, Donald Trump would have deported him. So now you can say, oh, you don't know that with perfect precision, because he might not have had his status be upturned within the 6 month period. And he just might have been deported a little past 6 months. You think that's relevant?
Yeah.
You think that's the relevant part of the story?
And who knows, maybe Congress for once in their lives would actually do something positive and vote on some sort of immigration reform that would help. That's the argument that I'm seeing from a lot of Trump supporters. Well, he's not deporting people right now. I mean, he's giving Congress that 6 month period. Yeah, because Congress has been really great in passing any type of legislation or agreeing on any type of policy.
Yeah, and they say, oh, well, no, Obama did it the wrong way. You can't do anything on immigration with executive orders. That's why one of the first things Donald Trump did was ban Muslims from certain countries by executive order on an issue of immigration. So it is not about the rule of law. It's not about being consistent. It's that they don't like guys like Alonzo Guillen. And it's not based on whether they're employed, whether they're part of the economy. The federal government gets $60 billion from Dreamers. They contribute over $215 billion to the GDP. And that's according to a right-wing think tank, Cato Institute. So it's not about the money. They pay all their taxes. It's not about that they're bums, because they're all gainfully employed, almost all of them, 97%, either in school or have jobs, including the military.
Some of them are business owners. Some of them provide jobs.
Yeah. And it's not that they're not good enough, as you saw with Alonzo, perfectly good enough people. So what is it about? You know what it's about. They're the them, they're the others. And we have to protect us.
Right.
And us is, unfortunately for Trump and his supporters, a racial construct. So they don't care how good a person Alonzo was. They had targeted him and they would have kicked him out. Well, they don't have to, I guess, now. Luckily, there was still a human being left in the federal government who let his mom in after they initially rejected her humanitarian visa.
Right.
So she'll get to attend his funeral.
All right, switching gears to some other news. An Ohio cop has been accused of shooting and potentially killing a photographer, a photojournalist in the area. This happened in New Carlisle, Ohio. And the photographer, Andy Grimm, was looking for a specific area to shoot lightning with his camera prior to a storm. Now, he shared the fact that he wanted to do so on Facebook, asked people for recommendations. So there's his post. And then he finally found a place that would be ideal to take these pictures. Grimm was driving along the town's main street when he noticed a traffic stop ahead. He said he pulled into a nearby parking lot in full view of the police officer on duty, intending to take photographs there. Now, that was when he was shot, because the cop, his name is Jake Shaw, mistook the camera gear as a weapon and just shot at him. Now, luckily, Andy Grimm is expected to make a full recovery. He was shot in his side, and so it was not a life-threatening wound. But what's even more interesting about this story is that Andy Grimm knows the cop who shot him and doesn't want him to lose the job, his job, over this. So Grimm said he was shot without warning when he emerged from his vehicle and began setting up his tripod and camera. Here's what he had to say about the cop. I know Jake. I like Jake. I don't want him to lose his job over this. And apparently, since this is a small town and everyone seems to know each other there, people in that town are also supporting the cop. For instance, one resident says, I'm sure Shaw didn't shoot Andy on purpose. Another says, Andy, we are praying for you right now. Shaw, you're a good person and a good cop. Your job is not easy. You're both in my prayers tonight. Now, some did argue that, okay, he pulled the trigger without really thinking. That is not a good idea. He should lose his badge over that. But the sense that I get is the community is kind of siding, not siding with the cop, but just not wanting any consequences.
Okay, so I'm split on that, because on the one hand, of course he's a terrible cop. Without asking who the guy was, turns out he knows the guy. Without coming so close enough to even be able to tell who it is, just a guy in a parking lot. Mm-hmm. Oh, who cares? Just shoot him. Okay, if it hit him in the head, he could have easily died. Could it not just hit him in the head? It could have hit him anywhere, and he could have bled out. But I don't care. I'm just going to shoot him. But that's a terrible cop. Okay, so of course he should lose his job. That's point one. On the other hand, they're not all terribly wrong. It's not just Shaw's fault. Mm-hmm. It's the community's fault who's backing him, who think, oh, it's a tough job. So now you just, if you're in a parking lot somewhere and what you have anything that looks large, cops can just murder you. That's what you're saying when you say, it's a tough job. It's a tough job. What can he do? What is he going to warn him? Is he going to say, freeze, you're under arrest? Is he going to actually come anywhere near him and see what the hell's going on? Or is he just going to blindly shoot? Oh, it's a tough job. Just blindly shoot into parking lots and see what happens. And it's because, for the millionth time, because of the goddamn training. The training is, don't ever take a risk with your life. And it might be your friend over there in the parking lot, but murder him first and then find out later if he had a camera or a gun.
Well, look, I agree that the training has something to do with it, but I also think, and you did, you know, imply this a little bit in what you said. Look, I think that the way that we treat shootings is very different today than it was a decade ago, right? So somebody opening fire, a cop opening fire, was a serious issue before, right? Like, you had to prove that you were in imminent danger, that someone posed an imminent threat, and so no one would make an excuse. Look, no one would make an excuse in this specific context where you have a white photojournalist just pulling out his tripod. He didn't even interact with the cop, right? Just doing his job in the general vicinity, right? Like, if that had happened 10 years ago, I feel like people would have taken it a lot more seriously. I remember just 5 years ago doing the stories about the tasers being overused, and people were up in arms about that. Now, if a cop uses a taser on the wrong person, it's like, oh my God. Oh, thank God he used a taser and not a gun. So I think another problem is the way we treat these stories, the way we talk about these stories, the way we make excuses for these types of cases, because this is serious. Luckily, Andy Grimm didn't lose his life, but he could easily have, right?
Another factor is we're militarizing the police. So if you remember why Chelsea Manning went to jail, one of the things that she released about what we'd done in Afghanistan and Iraq was the Apache helicopter video. And if you remember what happened in that video, it was our troops, and they had seen reporters on the ground, but they didn't realize they were reporters. They mistook their cameras for weapons, and they opened fire. They didn't ask. Now, look, you see, the excuse that people made for them, by the way, none of them went to jail. And then first responders came to bring the people to the hospital, and our guys shot at them and killed them too, okay? So that's a war crime. But not one person spent a day in jail except Chelsea Manning, who released that information, mm-hmm. So we know what went wrong. But what do? We excused it. So hey, you know, if it's a camera, but maybe you thought it was a gun from up in the sky, who cares, murder him and then we'll figure it out later. But that was in the middle of a war zone, literally. But now we've turned, and it was inexcusable in the middle of a war zone. But now it's in the middle of America. And so here we are in the middle of Ohio, and somebody takes out a camera, investigate, go over there and ask them what it is. No, cops don't take even 1% of a chance of a hangnail, okay? I mean, a paper cut, I'm not gonna take a 1% chance. I was trained that my life is way more important than any of the citizens' lives. So if I think anything, even a shopping bag, I don't know, a shopping cart, whatever, looks like a weapon, I'll shoot you from a mile away. I don't care. As long as I'm not taking any risks. That's what my commanding officer taught me all across the country. They told us cop lives matter more than any other lives. And if you have any doubt at all, kill them and then sort it out later. And in this case, it happened to be a friend. But actually, that's more telling. You didn't even bother to check that it was your friend.
That's why it doesn't matter what your race is, it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is, it doesn't matter if you're a productive member of society who's never broken a single law in your life. If you embolden this type of behavior, everyone's at risk, right? Everyone. So for all the people who think that this is just a race issue and it only affects black people and you don't care about black people, first of all, you're a terrible person. But secondly, don't think that you're safe just because of the color of your skin. This affects everyone.
When they came for African Americans, did you do something? When they came for Latinos, did you do something? Well, now they've come for everyone. And they're not checking to see who you are. They're not checking to see what your race is or anything like that. It's all across the country. Shoot first, sort it out later. That is not how you're supposed to do policing. It's sick and it's literally killing us.
All right, we got to take a break. Let's do that. And when we come back, I promise you, later on in this hour, some light stories.
Back on the Young Turks, Sonia Matthews writes in, this makes me believe that if ever I see a cop, I should just put my hands up preemptively. I hear you, Sonia, but don't do it too quick. You never know how they interpret that. Matt Diedrich says, what if he would have been a mom with a baby in her arms? By the way, what if he was just a regular dude taking pictures? I mean, this is all terrible. YouTube Super Chat, you participate in that. Your comments go to the top and you help the show. Deadpool TY Interwebs writes there, hashtag net neutrality. God bless. Okay, by the way, tytnetwork.com/loss. That's the poll of Hillary Clinton lost the general election because of Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. Some results are already in, nearly 1,000 votes already during the live show. And 1.9% saying Bernie Sanders, 98.1% saying Hillary Clinton. Perhaps not so surprising. Member shout outs of the day are Randy Yates and Sam PV. Randy and Sam, thank you so much. On the post game today for the members, I have at least two fun stories for you guys that didn't fit into the show, but that are really funny. One's about Piers Morgan manning up. You're going to love that one. And the other one's about Louise Linton, our favorite Marie Antoinette.
Mnuchin's I might defend wife. Her a little bit.
Oh, interesting.
Right, yeah.
A little bit of drums. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. You get the whole show, you support the show, and you get the post games, aggressive, progressive, old school, and other shows as well. All right, what's next?
All right. Robert E. Lee might have been a dick, but some of his descendants aren't. In fact, one of his descendants actually decided to speak truth to power during the MTV Music Awards. And as a result, he's facing so much criticism from the parishioners at the church that he works at that he decided to step down. Now, this is Reverend Robert Wright Lee IV. And if you can recall, and if you watch the MTV Music Awards, he went up on stage with Heather Heyer's mother. Heather Heyer was the victim in that hate rally where a white supremacist decided to run a bunch of counter protesters over. Now, during that speech, here's what the pastor had to say. He said, "We have made my ancestor an idol of white supremacy, racism, and hate. As a pastor, it is my moral duty to speak out against racism, America's original sin. Today, I call on all of us with privilege and power to answer God's call to confront racism head on. We can find inspiration in the Black Lives Matter movement, the women who marched in the Women's March in January, and especially Heather Heyer, who died fighting for her beliefs in Charlottesville." Now, apparently some of his parishioners absolutely hated that speech and have been criticizing him vehemently ever since. And as a result, he has decided to step down from that church. He did release a statement about this and it reads as follows. "My presence at the church as a descendant of Robert E. Lee and an outspoken opponent of white supremacy had already attracted attention. But with my appearance on MTV, the media's focus on my church reached an all-time high." And he continued to say, "A fraction of church members were concerned about my speech and that I lifted up Black Lives Matter movement, the Women's March, and Heather Heyer as examples of racial justice work. The church's reaction was deeply hurtful to me." So he says that he regrets that all his speaking out led to this, but he's incredible. You know, the fact that, look, I wish that he didn't step down because, as he says, it's a fraction of his church. And if he is, you know, the pastor at that church. There are people who look up to him, and he's an important voice. But with that said, I give him a lot of credit for sticking to his guns and standing by what he said.
So Robert Lee was the original Robert E. Lee was a complicated character, but he did lead the armies of the Confederacy in high treason against the United States, and their job was to protect slavery, and that was the state right that they were fighting for. So his son, or I mean his descendant here, is in a sense not as complicated. He's just on the right side. And it's actually not, I fail to see how controversial it is, except for the fact that I think he's actually, I'm going to be much harsher than Anna. His parishioners are dicks, I mean, in your language, okay? Mm-hmm. He said a faction of the church is that way. No, no, no. If you have a small percentage of the church who are just big loudmouths, the rest of the leaders of the church will put that down and they'll say, hey guys, look, he's trying to do the right thing. No, they're rebelling against this pastor because he's against white supremacy. Let that sink in for a second.
Yep.
So now you might, even if you were a Trump voter and you hate Black Lives Matter, first of all, educate yourself. I mean, Black Lives Matter says our lives should matter as well. It seems like they don't, and here's our facts and statistics about how we're disproportionately targeted. It's not to try to get any more rights than any other people. So if you believe that, you're wrong. You're just flat out wrong.
I know, Cenk, but you're trying to reason with white supremacists. They don't dislike Black Lives Matter because they were misled into believing it's like some terrorist organization. They don't believe Black Lives Matter. It's that simple, right?
So what are the other things you're against? Are you against him supporting Heather Heyer, who was murdered by a neo-Nazi? Women's March. Okay, so they don't agree with you politically, I presume. But so there's some women marching. Is that also a problem? So no, you're bad people. And he had a, this guy, Robert Wright Lee IV had to say, for this I offer my heartfelt apology. I understand my views could be considered to be controversial.
Yeah,
they're not that controversial. Yeah. And so just because Fox News doesn't like him, so your parishioners, they're bad, bad people. They are. There was enough of them to want to kick you out, and they kicked you out because you're against white supremacy. That's horrific. And these are the people pretending to be for Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. who said take everyone in, treat everyone the same, who gave the Sermon on the Mount. You people are disgusting. You never read the Bible, or you read the Bible and you're like, oh, the Old Testament stuff where we hate other people. I love that part. Sermon on the Mount, it's optional, okay? Turn the other cheek, the Prince of Peace, all that stuff. Who cares? That was just Jesus being weak, okay? But these were probably for the death penalty, even though Jesus got the death penalty, right? Just then, okay, then don't call yourselves Christian. I don't know, make yourself Satanist or something. Just say, yeah, we're the church of racism and be in favor of that. But you guys are dicks, and because one, your pastor happened to be a decent person, you drove him out of your community.
So the reason why I give him a lot of credit, even though I wish he hadn't apologized because he had nothing to apologize for, is because oftentimes people make excuses for those who are hateful because they say, well, you know, they're a product of their environment. And mm-hmm. think about
yes,
it.
Yes, great like, point.
Think about the fact that he's a descendant of someone who fought tooth and nail to maintain slavery in the United States. He was preaching at a church where some portion of the parishioners believe in this type of hatred. And he still was an independent thinker and knew right from wrong and spoke truth to power. Like, to me, that says a lot about someone. And that's the reason why I give him credit.
And we're not equivalent, okay? I know what those people, those hateful people in that church will say. What? So, okay, you say we hate black people, but you hate white people? No, we don't, okay? That's preposterous. No one thinks that white lives shouldn't matter. No one thinks that cops should randomly shoot unarmed white people. That's insane. No one thinks that men shouldn't have rights, only women should have rights. The only thing that we ask for is equal rights for every person, no matter what their race or religion is. That's supposed to be the most fundamental part of our Constitution and our country. And you say, no, if you're for that, you're not allowed to be my reverend because you're preaching love and I'm filled with hatred. Just say it, just admit it, okay? Stop hiding behind whatever the hell you're hiding. I don't even know what you're even hiding behind. I mean, you just fired this guy basically and drove him out of town. I'm glad you didn't tar and feather him while you were at it, because he doesn't believe in white supremacy. Though I'll end on a fun note. At least one good thing came out of this story. It turns out people still watch MTV.
Only when something controversial happens. Okay. Something that shouldn't be controversial.
All right, guys, we're out of time, but the online crew, stay with us. We've got more stories for you, including some of my favorites. Conservatives flipping out over hilarious things. We'll do that as soon as we return. All right, back on the Young Turks. You know, we're about to do some fun stories, but I'm still seething over the Hillary Clinton stories from earlier in the show. They keep pretending we divided them. No, you divided us. We didn't call Hillary Clinton racist or sexist or any other thing that she wasn't. We didn't call you guys that, right? Mm-hmm. You went and did that and you knew it was a smear job and you did it anyway. You guys invented Bernie Bros and you knew that was a total fucking dick move and you knew it wasn't true and you did it anyway. And you know who supported the Bernie Bros theme? Some hackers out of Macedonia, probably connected to the Russian government. How is that for irony? Mm-hmm. All they complain about democratic establishment is Russia, right? And I think that there's legitimacy to that story, as you guys know from watching the show. But then they turn around and they supported a meme that the Russians supported, Bernie Bros.
I just wanted to go away.
Oh, now, no. As I said in the middle of the show, now they flipped me. No, I wanted to run again.
No, come on.
Come on.
It's just the water's so warm.
The water's warm. Come, get
it. It would be like the worst decision of her entire life if she ran again.
They're so delusional. They have no idea how disliked she is, how disliked all of them are.
She has to have some idea.
I don't think they do. I think that they're in a total state of denial. We would have won. We could have won. It was. We had the right voters in Wisconsin. They had the wrong voters in Wisconsin. It was Russia. It was Bernie. Fucking. All right. Anyway, sorry. All right. On to fun stories.
All right. If you want to have strong opinions on something, you should probably know all the facts. One place where you're unlikely to get all the facts is the headline to any given article. Now, some baby boomers learned that the hard way after NPR published an article with the headline, "Get off the couch, baby boomers." Now, it wasn't a political article, it was just a health article that talked about some of the health ramifications of being seated for a long period of time when you reach a certain age, right? So for baby boomers, it's a lot more dangerous if you're sitting all day.
Can I just pause for a second?
Sure.
Before we get to the outrage by Trump voters, I wouldn't have thought that headline was political in a million years. And I'm not sure that I would have assumed that it was a health article. Mm-hmm. I would have thought it was more of like a, hey, if you want to get active, get up off your ass, you know, or, you know, take part in a movement or at work or something along those lines. How do people see that headline and immediately assume that not only is it political, but it's against Trump?
Yeah.
What? But they did.
Right. So I could see how baby boomers might read that headline and think it's judgy.
And so that
I can see. But what's interesting is the people that were upset about that headline and immediately went to Twitter and started criticizing it were Trump supporters. So let me give you some of the examples that really stood out to me. Now, the NPR story, again, focused on the health risks of prolonged sitting, particularly for those between the ages of 50 and 71. Now, here are what some of the baby boomer slash Trump supporters had to say about this on Twitter. Again, it's very clear that they just read the headline, they never read the piece. Get off the couch, baby boomers. We did get off the couch and elected POTUS. What we need is the millennials to get out of their basements.
I love her title on Twitter is, "I'm not fake news."
You're not news, period. Like, I mean, you don't even read the news, but
I know, okay. Get the irony of that. Yeah, I'm not fake news, I'm not any news. I don't even read it. Got you, POTUS.
All right, Joe Connor, not to be mistaken with John Connor, an avid TYT viewer and a person that we love here, said, get off the couch, baby boomers. Millennials are lazy bastards, play with phone buttons and hate the USA. Hashtag MAGA, hashtag do something, hashtag TCOT, hashtag Trump.
Play with phone buttons and hate the USA.
That's right, that's right. I'm a millennial, I like to play with buttons and I hate the USA.
No, but that's right there, that's probably your average Fox News viewer. The average Fox News viewer is 68 years old. When O'Reilly was around, this is my favorite fact of all time, his average viewer was 72 years old. So for every 42-year-old watching, just 42, that's not very young, 42-year-old watching Bill O'Reilly, he had to have 102-year-old watching.
Dude.
Okay,
yeah.
And you know, the way they see the world is, those millennials, they're playing with the phone numbers and they hate the USA.
Right. No, no, but let's go back to Joe Connor's tweet for just one second and read the first portion of it where he says, millennials are lazy bastards. You didn't even read the article. You didn't even read the article. Just take a second to read the article, okay? You judge the article based on a headline. Okay, so anyway, let's continue. Get off the couch, baby boomers, should be millennials. We voted make America great again. I don't know why we didn't grab the original tweet for that. But anyway, let's move on to the next one. Another baby boomer slash Trump supporter says, are you kidding us? We don't have time to sit on the couch. We have to work to pay for your food stamps and free stuff. Hashtag get a job. Okay, look. This assumption that millennials don't work and that we're lazy, it's been disproven over and over again. I'm not even gonna get into it because it's just a gigantic waste of time. They're not gonna hear it. But listen, homegirl, you're gonna be collecting those social security checks pretty soon. Guess who's gonna pay for them? Millennials. So shut the fuck up, okay? And by the way, gladly I will pay for them, right? Gladly I pay those social security taxes because I believe patriotism is taking care of our country, making sure that we take care of the elderly and those who are needy, right? I'm not bitter about it. But like, get off your high horse and stop pretending like you're saving America with the work you're doing, okay? Like, it's just so pathetic.
And the whole thing drives me crazy. So they feel like they're the only ones who work.
Exactly, exactly.
And so like, oh, millennials, they're all just lazy and out with, and blacks and minorities and immigrants, everybody's lazy. Yeah, the guy who crossed the desert to be able to feed his family
lazy.
And does jobs that you wouldn't do in a million years, that's the guy who's lazy.
Lazy.
Right? And it goes on and on. Okay, so but the best irony is the one that Anna pointed out. You're talking about lazy, you didn't even read one word of the article. So I think you might have lost your moral high ground. Look, I sometimes get like amped up and want to tweet something halfway through an article. Mm-hmm. Like an idea will pop into my head, but I'll read all the way to the very last word in case I'm going to be a knucklehead and miss something.
Right.
Right. And then of course I'll want if we're going to do it on the show, I'll want context and we'll read around, etc. These guys are like, get off the couch, baby boomers. Got it. Got it, sons of bitches, Trump's the best, you're the worst, and you're lazy, and I don't care what the article says. Fake news.
Amazing. By the way, some people did call them out on Twitter in a clever way. Jason B writes, get off the couch, baby boomers. They'll believe it when Alex Jones says it. And then let's take a look at the next one. Giving life prolonging tips to baby boomers is probably the best reason yet to defund NPR. Now, David Burge, I'm sure, is joking, but that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
By the way, NPR changed the headline. They added,
don't change anything.
They did.
For Christ's sake.
So they changed the headline by adding the following, or you may not be able to later. So get off the couch, baby boomers, or you may not be able to later.
Don't appease idiots. Jesus Christ, man. And we gotta argue with people who are empirically unintelligent?
I would just laugh at it and have fun with it. It's fun, whatever. They didn't read the article.
No, but we live in an insane, and by the way, politically correct world where NPR is in a position where they don't wanna offend the snowflakes who are too stupid to read their articles. Mm-hmm. They're like, yes, we grant you that they are stupid. Okay, they can't say it. But they, I mean, by definition, right? They attacked us for something we didn't say. Mm-hmm. But we have to appease them anyway because of political correctness.
Yeah. Look, Cenk, they don't have time to read the article. They're too busy working to pay for our food stamps. Okay. One final story for you guys. Has to do with video games. Mario from Super Mario. Has it always been called Super Mario? Like, there's different versions of it, right?
I'm not a gamer either, and it's.
I actually played the Mario games, and I fucking love them.
Okay, so every gamer is already laughing at us. God bless your hearts.
Okay.
There's a Dr. Mario. I assume
Mario. It's not Mario. Please stop saying Mario.
That's funny. Somebody corrected me earlier. I don't even notice I'm doing it.
Insane.
Okay.
Mario.
There are Mario Brothers. Okay. Presumably in different professions. Or maybe they're all plumbers. I'm not well versed in the history of the Mario family.
Right. Neither am I, because anyway. All right. So.
But yes, I did used to play it. Whichever Mario was where you had to line up the colors and then kind of like Tetris. I played that religiously when I was in college.
Yeah. So there's been different versions of it. But anyway, let me get to the story. Apparently, Mario from the Mario video game, Super Mario Brothers, yada yada, used to be referred to as a plumber. That was his day job. You know, when he wasn't eating mushrooms and doing other things, he was plumbing. Now, apparently,
okay.
Apparently, they've decided to rebrand him as a non-plumber. And I don't know why. And I don't know why anyone cares. But nonetheless, people are talking about it, and now Fox News is concerned that the reason why they did the rebranding was because of political correctness.
Okay, can I just say, no, I don't think they even did a rebrand. I read what they wrote. I mean, obviously translated from Japanese, but all they said was who was a plumber a long time ago.
Yeah.
So what all that means is,
he used to be a plumber, and now he's not a plumber.
Now he's a video game star or whatever the hell.
No, now they're saying he was a plumber a long time ago. He now focuses on sports and racing, okay? So,
which makes sense that he says he's in the video game. They're not even saying, like, that's it. He's retired from plumbing and he's become a neuroscientist. Okay. rebrand.
No,
anyway.
Even better. Can you imagine? He retired from plumbing and now he's a climate scientist. Okay, so I feel like a little shame talking about this, but Fox News talked about it as well, okay? So I give us a pass. Here's the discussion that they had.
All right. Okay.
According to his new Nintendo profile, Mario worked as a plumber, quote, a long time ago. He now focuses on sports and racing. Good. Fans on Twitter not taking this news well at all, like you, Brian. One tweeting, quote, what the heck? Nothing is sacred anymore. Another tweet reading, quote, the vanishing working class.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Keep the plumber.
Really?
I like that.
Why would they make the, is it a political?
The music, yes.
Is it a PC thing that they've decided, or just the fact that he never did?
Right.
He's just on to new things now. Like, you know, sometimes you're due for a change. Maybe he can
ready for a change.
Do we have a Mario correspondent that we could tap into? We can get on the phone?
We can create one.
Nintendo store is less than a block away.
Right, we could do that.
As long as they don't change the music, though.
Okay. The guys who wrote Vanishing Working Class were joking. I read the tweets. They were hilarious. 98% of them were joking.
I think they were joking too, to be fair.
Yeah, I get it. But like, Ducey had to make it political with, is this political correctness? Why? Are Democrats against plumbers? Like, I don't even, is that a thing?
I don't know.
Okay. Hey, everybody, get off of Mario's ass. Okay. It doesn't matter what he is. He's in a video game. He's not real. And I know, unlike Fox, I think we recognize that most of you are joking. And if you're not joking, please go get not a new job, but a new life.
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's it. We're out of time, guys. But the post game is going to be legendary. We do have the Piers Morgan trying to take credit for being a man.
I can't wait.
I know, it didn't work out well. And the Treasury Secretary's wife, with an apology of an apology, will do that at the post. TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member. Bye-bye.